I got up this morning. Well, this is loud. I have got the power. I got up this morning, sort of expecting to do me Joseph, continuing of Joseph. And as you know, I quite like to do mine Sunday morning. I get up early and sort of quite often do them on the day. And I thought I'd be super spiritual this morning and have a bit of a prayer time before I did my word. And God says, "Oh, you're not doing Joseph." But that serves me right for having a prayer time before my sermon. So if you're expecting Joseph this morning, we're not doing it. I'm going to talk this morning about the bus stop syndrome. That's the title that I've given it, and you'll see why. And anyone that's waited at bus stops will know why. And probably understand more what I'm talking about than people who haven't waited at a bus stop. Now, is there anybody here that hasn't waited at a bus stop in their lives? I'd be very surprised if there weren't. Yeah, so everybody here knows what I mean about waiting for the bus. Let me ask you a couple of questions, and you can answer me this. When you last waited for a bus, tell me some of the things that you were thinking about concerning the bus.
Wish you
very old. Yeah, that's one of them.
I hope it comes.
Yeah, that's my first concern when I used to wait for buses. Well, I hope this bus turns up. Any others?
I hope I've missed it.
Yeah, I hope it's not full.
Will it stop?
I hope it's not late.
I bet it's late.
Have you ever thought this one? I hope the bus doesn't turn up. I don't really want to go anywhere. And then, as the bus turns up, you think, I've forgotten my money. All those sorts of things can go through your mind, can't they, when you're waiting for a bus? Waiting for the bus syndrome, as I'm going to call it this morning, is waiting in a way that is sometimes stressful, in the weak hope that something will turn up, hopefully the bus, and that we might actually get on it. And I think that we, sometimes, especially myself, when I or we hear the words, wait on God for the Holy Spirit, we have the bus stop syndrome. And I'm going to try and explain why a little bit. First of all, maybe we think, will the Holy Spirit actually turn up? You know, we do the prayers, we do the sermons, and then there's that doubt in our minds what says, is he going to turn up? Am I going to look a fool? You know, if I preach on the Holy Spirit, or if I sort of come at the end of me and say, come on, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit, and nothing happens. So first of all, is the Holy Spirit ever going to turn up? The other thing which I sometimes think happens in life, we can think, have I missed it? You know, should there have been times in my life in the past where God should have really whooped me with the Holy Spirit then, and then everything would have been all right? You didn't come to the service last Sunday night, the Holy Spirit fell. Is that it? You know, am I not going to get it? The other thing that I think we sometimes think about is, will it take me where I want to go? Will it force me to do things that I don't want to do? You know, will it embarrass me? Popular one, how much longer will it take? That's a good one when you're waiting for the bus, isn't it? How much longer will it take? How long will we wait for God's Holy Spirit? Time is precious, isn't it, these days? I mean, it always is, but we seem to be in a world where everything has to be, you know, it has to be now and done, doesn't it? How long will it take? The other question that I think, I don't know if you ever asked yourself, but I have at times, but do I even need the Holy Spirit now? Most of the time, when you wait for a bus, it's not with excitement and anticipation and desire, is it? Everyone at the bus stop isn't stood there happily saying, I love buses. I want to get on the bus all the time. Come on, buses! They're not like that, are they? They're all like, it's going to be late again. I hope I get on. You know, miserable. We use the complain and clock watch and don't know if it's even going to turn up. That's the bus stop syndrome. What I'm saying is, It is the attitude in which we wait for the Holy Spirit that will determine whether or not he will show up. Doesn't matter what you think about a bus, it'll turn up or not, depending on whether it's on the right route, but our attitude is crucial to the result of whether God sends the Holy Spirit or not. Anyone who thinks that just God is involved in sending the Holy Spirit, I think is mistaken. We're involved as well. God sends his Holy Spirit in response to our need, into our seeking, into our waiting. I haven't met anyone, any Christian person, who said that God has forced the Holy Spirit upon him. God doesn't do that, does he? God won't make us have something that we don't want. I want to look at some scriptures. Julie used some of these yesterday, and I want to start with Acts because it's the sort of the most famous and easy ones to start. So if you turn to the chapter 1 of Acts, we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures from there first. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 8. This is the famous one. This is where Jesus is telling the disciples what to do. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This is Jesus, and this is a command. To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Oh, sorry, I don't need that bit. Oh, I do, yeah, sorry. And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times and the season which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And in Goldthorpe, and at work, and wherever we are, to the ends of the earth. As we read that, first of all, I see a directive from Jesus, and he tells us to wait. Now, at the bus stop, we don't like waiting, and many other times in life when we're in queues, the one that really annoys me is when you're on the phone to someone that is really important, like your car insurance, and you get the wait, you know, you get the blah, 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 press 1, press 2, you are in a queue, your call is important to us. please hang on. And 40 minutes later, you're still listening to the same. We don't like to wait for stuff, do we? But Jesus' directive to the disciples was wait. You know, go to Jerusalem and don't move. Just stay there. Wait for the promise, it says in this particular verse. Secondly, it says, you will be baptized. There's no doubt in that, is there? He didn't say that 3 or 4 of you are there. You know, the leaders are going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and the rest of you aren't. But that'll be enough. He says, you will be baptized. Whoever was there, he was talking to them all, wasn't he? Then he says, you will receive power and you will be witnesses. That was a collective thing. He was talking to everyone there, wasn't he? So first of all, Acts 1 verse 4 to 8 was Jesus' directive, what he told them to do. Now, the coming of the Holy Spirit depended on what they did with that information, didn't it? If they'd have ignored that and all gone home, then we wouldn't have even known about what we're talking about and looking at this month, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. This is one what I think is really important. This is the Christian response to the directive which Jesus had just brought. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And when it says these all continued, it meant the people that Jesus had asked to wait. They all continued in prayer, in one mind. In other words, this is a way that I hope you'll remember this particular thing. They called for the cops. Now on the films on the telly, when things start going wrong, especially American films, they say, "Call for the cops!" You'll see why. A good way to remember the important attitude in which we wait for the Holy Spirit is. Corpse. First of all, see, they continued. You know, they stuck to it as long as it took. They could have gone there for an hour or two and thought, yeah, God, come on. Nothing happens. They could have gone there for a day or two. But Jesus says, wait there for the days that it takes for me to come in with my Holy Spirit. And they waited, didn't they? They continued, as it says in the first line. The second thing, for the O in Copts, in one accord, their hearts and minds and hopes were all in unity. You know, they'd seen, a lot of them by this time had seen Jesus' resurrected body. They knew that a miracle had took place. You know, that it was the start of something. And they were waiting in one accord, in unity. The third thing, the P for Copts, is prayer. It says they waited in one accord in prayer. And I think prayer is praising and seeking God, isn't it? It's the both. It's the prayer, it's praising and seeking God, and that's what they were doing at this time. You could imagine some of the prayers that would be being offered up at this time. They didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. We've got hindsight. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to do. We've got the hindsight. They were just praying for something that had never been on earth before, really, or not in mankind, really. Something that the Old Testament hinted at, but didn't really know the power of. What was going to happen as they prayed? The S, in my version, for Copts, is supplication. That's a really old word, but when you look at what it means, it's a fantastic word. It means with real desire and emotion and need. It even means asking and pleading with God, even in tears, you know what I mean? It's more than just saying, oh God, can I have your Holy Spirit? It's like getting down on our knees and crying, you know, and really pouring our hearts out before God, saying, Lord, we need it. Lord, we want it, we desire it, we seek it. In the song we sing, it's fire we want, it's fire we need. But do we want it, and do we need it so badly? If we really do need it, then we do have to get the cops involved, continue in one accord, in prayer and in supplication. Cops is the important attitude that we need to see God open up heaven and pour out his Holy Spirit. When those things are right, that's when God pours out his Holy Spirit. I want to quickly this morning just look at a few other verses about waiting on God. Waiting on God's providence is a principle throughout the whole Bible. To seriously wait on God brings good things for our lives, for the lives of the church, for our communities. Not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament as well. It's the same principle throughout. I just want to start in Psalm 27. We're going to read verse 13. And 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So first of all, it says there, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. You know, and we could easily lose heart if God didn't do anything, couldn't we? You know, if we didn't see the goodness of the Lord, if we didn't see God doing something in our meetings or in our lives or in our communities. We need to believe that we will see God's goodness where we live. Julie's doing the sermon on the Where We Live series, you know, what we do where we are. If we don't believe that God can bring his goodness where we live, then we're not going to see the Holy Spirit come, are we? As we wait on the Lord, as I think that it was David that was talking here, waited on the Lord, as we wait, he will strengthen our hearts as he did with David. God's power and strength will come into us, will come into you, and will come into me. As we wait, it brings the power of God upon us, but it puts the onus on of believing that he's going to do something. Actually believing that the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to do something. My next one is from Isaiah 40 and verse 30. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. This is the famous one. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What a promise that is. Those who wait on the Lord. Do you know those who wait on the Lord are those that are applying the COPS principle to their lives, continuing in one accord, in prayer and in supplication before God. Waiting on God, that's what it is. They will renew their strength and fly like eagles in the things of the Holy Spirit, not trundle along on an old smelly bumpy bus, but soar effortlessly in God's power and spirit. That's the difference between the bus drop syndrome and having our attitudes right. One leaves us on a bumpy, sort of dirty, uneven road. The other one lets us fly in his spirit. This is the one I can't find. Lamentations 3. Lamentations wood. It's in there somewhere though. That's it. Lamentations 3 and verse 24 to 26. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. First of all, our only hope is in God. No one else can give us the hope that God can give us. It's not a weak hope that I hope something will happen, but it's a trust, it's a hope that we know something will happen. The other thing is that God is good to those who wait on him. He changes their souls as they seek. Now, a soul is very hard to describe what it is and where it is. So, I'll do my best, but you have to use your imagination here. Our soul is part of our personality, our very being, our spiritual heart and mind. It's the part of us that is not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual and it's feeling and it's alive, but it's not flesh and blood. As we wait on God, he not only will give us the power to do stuff for others, but he will also restore our soul and recharge us. My next statement this morning is, God's not like buses in any way. He's not red and big. No, but he always shows up at the right time and takes us where we need to go. You know, and there's always room in God and in God's plan for our lives, for everyone. You know, God doesn't leave anyone out of his plan or the journey. Just one more verse, and that's from Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And it starts there with saying, and we will be able to say in that day, behold, this is our God. That means that God showed up in power, didn't it? That God did what they wanted him to do. As they prayed, God came and did it. They also said that we will see that this is God. You know, God is here. We will rejoice in what God does through his Holy Spirit. What I want to get across this morning is that the key is our attitude. We can be like the bus stop syndrome, where we're really not in it, you know, and not interested. Or it can be the cops syndrome. The key is our attitude. We can't continue with our bus stop syndrome. We have to bring the cops syndrome. Continue in one accord in prayer and supplication. Jesus said it as a commandment, so that means we have to do it, don't we? God then responds by coming in power and anointing at just the right time and in just the right way. Not too late, not too early, but absolutely perfect timing. With plenty of room for us and everyone else that needs it. I'll finish with a question this morning. Are we at the bus stop or are we at the airport? Do we want to fly or do we want to trundle along on the bumpy bus? Because we were made to fly in the spirit, weren't we, not roll along, you know, and have to endure the bumps and the pitfalls and the awful ways. We were meant to fly, weren't we? Amen.